Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know Employee Cycle, we're the people dashboard helping all of you HR leaders at small and medium companies punch above your weight class to become as data-driven as you possibly could be. What do I mean by that? I know a lot of you are pulling messy spreadsheets from all your different systems, HRIS, ATS, engagement, performance, time and attendance, scheduling, whatever your workforce looks like. You probably have a bunch of HR systems that you have to pull messy spreadsheets together to try to tell a data-driven story. And we know that it's painful, it's manual, it's time-consuming, and especially during COVID and a pandemic and the year that we've had in 2020, who has time for that? That's why we built Employee Cycle, your all-in-one people dashboard that has pre-built connectors to all the most popular HR systems you're using. That's right. All you have to do is just point and click, drop in an API token, and we can connect to all your systems, including Bamboo HR, namely Zenefits, Sapling, ADP, TriNet, Office Vibe, Reflective. Too many for me to even remember. And this allows us to be able to pull all your people data into one place so you can view, track, share, and analyze all your people data from one unified view. Please visit employeecycle.com. Would love to chat with you, show you how we can automate your HR reporting process, get you a demo, and ultimately a free trial. Doesn't that sound great? I'm sure it does. But that's enough about me and our company, because today we have a great guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Tiana Stewart. She's the head of HR at Resulta. And today we're going to discuss how to manage aggressive headcount growth during COVID. Tiana, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Welcome! Wow!
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, Tiana, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Oh my gosh. I did not grow, as a little girl, grow up thinking I was going to be an HR person. I actually had a mentor and a boss of mine previously who talked me into it, actually. He thought I'd be really great at HR. I did not think that. I still don't know if I'm one of those HR people. I've never really considered myself one of those warm, fuzzy people. But I just trusted him and what he thought I would be great at. And my only condition was I will do it. But you guys have to send me through school and pay for all of my training. And he agreed to that. So, 10 years or so later, this is what I'm doing. So that's how it happened.
Who says peer pressure can't lead you in the right direction?
Absolutely.
You are living proof.
Yep, 100%.
All right. So today we're discussing how to manage aggressive headcount growth during COVID. So let's get a baseline. Tiana, how big is your company today? How fast has it been growing in regards to headcount? What does your company do?
Yeah, so we're at 135, I think, today. We are growing significantly. We've got, I think, 8 people on the docket to start in November, so another busy month. Our company is, you ask a lot of people in our organization and they come up with different answers, but the one answer that would ring true is that we are an affiliate marketing company. So we are a tech company that's managing affiliate marketing websites.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And what are the departments that make up most of the employees at your company?
Yeah, so we've got a large development team. So a DevOps. We've got a large analytics team, business intelligence, SEO. We have a digital marketing team, as well as a video production studio. So a lot of different, and product, I can't forget about product. We have a lot of different positions under one roof, for sure.
So I have a little bit of experience across all those roles, not me personally being able to do any of those things, but experience in working around them, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Just to be clear. And so I used to work at big digital marketing agency called Razorfish. So I was around a whole bunch of people. I actually did paid search marketing. So I was around people who were really, really smart doing paid search and SEO, a lot of digital marketing. And then as a CEO of a HR analytics company, definitely around people in the analytics space and product development as well. So I know that these can be really hard roles to fill.
Some of them can, yes. Developers, for sure, 100%.
Yeah. Really hard roles to fill, really smart people that basically can work anywhere, because engineers, people in analytics, people in product can work anywhere. So I'm curious, with the pandemic, with a lot of people on one hand, it's a really interesting time, because on one hand, you have a lot of people being more conservative in regards to switching jobs because they just don't know what the economy and the world is going to look like in the future. Then on the other hand, you have people being very opportunistic and saying, well, you know what? You only live once, and who cares if the world might be falling apart? I got to get mine and live my best life and get the best opportunity possible. So how is that affecting your recruiting process, especially with you trying to hit such aggressive headcount targets?
Yeah, I think at the beginning of COVID, for sure, we definitely experienced the fact that a lot of people did not want to make a move. Developers, for sure. We've been aggressively hiring developers for the last couple of years. And so if you were someone who was in a dev role in a company at the beginning of COVID, 100%, they weren't looking to make a move. And we felt that pinch at the beginning. And then over time, I think as we all seem to get settled into this COVID world, we may have found a little bit of our own normal through that. Our own circumstances might have changed. And some people seem to have adapted a little bit in that. So it has become a bit easier, I would say, the last couple of months to find certain positions. At the beginning of COVID, certainly there was a challenge. People didn't want to take that risk because there was some insecurity happening in the world. But I think it's kind of leveled a little bit more now, 100%.
So we're now in the first week of November. COVID happened, call it mid-March.
Yeah.
Between then and now, when did you start to get into that new normal groove where you saw that recruiting may have become a little bit, not easy, but easier?
Easier probably around May, June, for sure, 100%. We've had positions that we've had open for a number of months. These are positions that we are constantly looking to bring on that particular talent. I think product managers, one, software developers, mostly WordPress people, for sure, is another. And so we certainly gained a lot more traction on those roles in June and May, for sure.
Were there any things you had to do in regards to your recruiting process that you had to change or optimize to still hit these aggressive headcount growth targets while also dealing with the pandemic?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. It's kind of embarrassing to admit it, to be honest, because even though I've been doing nothing but recruitment the last couple of years, we did not have a recruitment software system in our company. And in July, working with our CTO, we implemented a brand new software system for us. And it came at a wonderful time, because up until that point, I had been doing my best, keeping organized with, emails and little spreadsheets, as you mentioned earlier, being one of those crazy people. And then my head was about to blow off. So we implemented a software system, and that was really helpful for us going forward. And I think, to be honest, at the height of our busyness, I remember thinking, I don't have time to implement this, but I also need to understand I need to implement it. And if I don't implement it now and put the time to it, I'm not going to have time later. So it was really, really great timing, I think, for us, 100%.
So you implemented a new ATS during the middle of this crazy hiring spree.
Yeah.
What did that look like? How much time did it take for you to actually optimize and revise your process? Because I know that a lot of the times when you're implementing new HR software, you can't necessarily keep the same process because there's so many things that are now automated that Yeah. you almost need to create a new process. So what was that like for you?
It was challenging for sure, but also it was really, when you have a great team around you, you have great people working with you and they all have the same goal. If you rely on them as well to help you, that will that makes it so much easier. So yeah, I was stressed through the process, but we have a really great HR generalist who also has a tech mind. I swear to God, I think she's better at tech than I am. And she was really helpful, as well as, Trevor, our CTO. So I don't feel like it was me that did it all on my own. Those two were very instrumental. Yeah, I mean, there were some hairy moments, but we got through it. There's tenacity amongst our group for sure.
Were there any things that you had to change in regards to the actual process? So how many questions you ask, how many rounds of interviews you had, video interviews versus in-person interviews, or multiple video interviews, multiple people on Yeah. the video with the people. I mean, there's so many things that could have changed and probably did change pre-COVID to post-COVID, or now, I guess not post, but during COVID. What did that look like for you?
Yeah, I'm laughing because when you said multiple videos, you're 100% correct. I think until we implemented that one system that housed all of our video interviews there, we had been using, I mean, if there's a video system up there, I was using it. I was using WebEx. I was using Zoom. I was using Teams, Microsoft Teams. I think at one point I was like, yeah, I'm not even using the Facebook one yet. That might be next. I was using everything and trying to keep up on which one I was using for which interview. I had two different laptops on the go to be able to, because my work laptop didn't go into Zoom, and it was like a bit of a nightmare. But having the one system implemented the opportunity to have just everything in one video kind of platform. So that's been awesome. I no longer have to worry about, you know, paying my monthly Zoom subscription anymore. And I felt the quality of the video load and the link was much better too. So yeah, that was a big, huge help. Another big help was just having everything all housed in one spot, and it allows the opportunity for the hiring managers to provide their feedback in one spot instead of all these crazy emails coming back and forth in my inbox. That was pretty big thing as well. Those are the two big things I can think of at the top of my head.
Got it. So I know a lot of the times when you are looking to achieve rapid headcount growth and scale, you can have a bit of a QA issue, because sometimes companies will say, well, we really want this person to be 100% fit, but we really need to hit these sales goals, or we really need to hit this product goal. And so sometimes you'll get people sneaking in, people at 75 and 80% saying, oh, well, hopefully,
yeah,
we'll just make the best of it and hopefully this works, but we just can't wait any longer. How did you deal with the lack of candidates on the open market while also trying to manage hitting headcount goals in a timely fashion without losing quality and still making sure that you're hiring the best people possible?
Yeah, so number one, the quality is always there. We don't ever miss sight of that. And that is, I think, the most important thing. The reason that that's such an important piece is because if you not focus on the personality and the fit, the cultural fit, then you're going to cause yourself more problems later. You're going to cause the team more problems later. So that's always the number one goal for us, is to find the best cultural fit for our organization. And I don't need to get anybody to buy into that. All the rest of our team members or hiring managers, they all feel the same way. So there were times, I remember in July, I think we needed to find five product managers. And honestly, we took our time with it. We interviewed a lot of people who thought they could be product managers for Resulta, 100%. But we didn't jump on that. We just remained steady on that. And first and foremost, always put the cultural fit first. And yeah, we have quotas in the back of our mind of what we want to fill with regards to number of bodies for our organization. But that's not the driver. It's not the number one driver at all. So I don't know if I answered your question, but that's...
No, you did. You did. And you just mentioned something interesting where you were saying that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounded like a lot of people were applying for the roles that really didn't have the experience or qualified, yeah, but applying anyway. And that's always something that happens in a downturn, or where you get a bunch of people laid off,
right,
or furloughed, because people are just saying, well, I don't know if I'm qualified or not, or I know I'm not qualified, but I just need to apply to anything moving in any opportunity because I need a job. How did you deal with that increase and influx of candidates that gave you a lot more candidates than you usually would have?
Yeah, I'll be honest. You know, we get a lot of response for all of the job postings that we have out there. And as an HR person, you know, I would love to have the time to look through every candidate. And, you know, sometimes we do, depending on the role, but there are some roles we just don't have the ability to, we don't have the bandwidth. And so our number one kind of like golden rule in my mind is that we try to interview at least five people per role that we're looking for. So we narrow it down to at least five good candidates that we want to meet, and then find at least one good one out of that. And we've had a lot of good success with just that, working with those numbers. I could sit and interview product people all day long, but at the end of the day, you know, you're burning yourself out. You're meeting a lot of people. You're giving people false hope. And at the end of the day, all of those personalities just kind of mesh together and you kind of forget, like, who did I meet again? And what was that person's name? So we do try to just keep it to five or six people if we can per position. And that seems to be what works best for us. Yeah. I mean, we get inundated with resumes. And we get inundated with resumes from all over the world. You'd be surprised at the number of people that apply for jobs who don't live or not located in Canada right now. And it's unfortunate that we don't have the opportunity to give jobs to everybody, but that's kind of our approach to it.
We didn't go over this in the beginning, but are you back in the office and are you only limited to hiring people in your area?
No.
Okay.
We're not. Sorry to interrupt you there.
No, you're not hiring people outside of your area, or no, you're not back in the office?
We're not back in the office and we're not limiting to hiring just in our area.
Okay. Got it.
So we closed our office down the week before the local restrictions here in Nova Scotia were put out. So I keep saying March 17th, whatever that week was, right before St. Patrick's Day, we were closed that week and we're still closed. We opened the office to 5 people in July. So those 5 people are video studio people, because they need to be back in the office to have access to the video studio. So we opened it to them in July. And then in September, we opened it to just 20 people who may feel that they are having challenges working from home with regards to location, spouse, children, or whatnot. So any given day, there may be 15 to 17 people there. But all of us, the majority of us, are all working from home.
Now, I know a lot of the companies and HR leaders specifically in the U.S. are really trying to focus on and figure out what is diversity recruiting look like for them. And one of the main issues that we've had, or at least an excuse that a lot of companies have said in the past, is that when you're looking to hire very quickly, people have said it's impossible or almost impossible to try to bring in an inclusive and diverse workforce, because you're literally just trying to get the best people as quickly as possible. And then if you put on that extra layer and filter of diversity, then it makes the hiring process even longer. So I'm curious, with you being a Canadian company, was that a variable in your recruiting process? And if so, what did that look like while also still trying to hire quickly?
Yeah, that's always top of mind for me, actually. And that's been something that's been a personal goal of mine for a long time, is to try to make sure that we have as much diversity as we possibly can find in our candidates. I'll be honest, there's certain roles that I'm hiring for that there are challenges with that. Some of the more, you know, traditional tech roles, there's challenges with it. But I know that in my organization that we've seen a change in that sense, and that we're working towards it. I think that every month that goes by, I know that we're making changes with that. And I'm actually really happy with where we are too with that, because when I came to the company 5 years ago, diversity was not a thing that was, I think, top of mind. I mean, it might've been top of mind, but there were other things people were focused on. There was no HR person in place before I came there. So they were doing the best they can with what they had. I don't know if it was a top of mind thing even in the world really at that point. I think a lot has changed certainly in the last 5 years. But it's been a thing of mine for a while. I find that one a challenging one to answer, because I actually feel like we're getting a lot of diverse candidates that apply for the roles that we have posted. We don't have just people within Canada applying for some of the roles that we have. And we don't have people just in Nova Scotia applying for the roles that we have posted. We have a lot of individuals coming to us from other regions of Canada, and most certainly from like the Toronto region, central region, for sure. So I actually don't think that's a big issue overall with our organization. Maybe that might have been a thing a year or two ago. But I feel like what's happening in the last year and a half is that things seem to be opening up more. I don't know if there's this shift within borders. I know that immigration to Canada is a huge thing, and that's changing for us here in Nova Scotia. So I think we're making a lot of progress on that front.
Awesome. And then the last question I have for you, for people to get to know you a little bit, you have a very demanding job right now. You're looking to hire and onboard a ton of people during a very challenging time. And everybody is dealing with all different types of mental health issues or isolation issues, or just dealing with the struggle and the heavy and the weight of 2020. How are you practicing self-care and making sure that you're in a good place mentally, physically, spiritually, all the ways, so that you're the best Tiana you could be to help manage the workforce and help the workforce navigate through this challenging time?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I'd like to think of myself as kind of someone who's got a high resilience level, very strong headed, and can kind of weather any storm that's coming her way. But I'll be honest, I think that the last couple of months, I myself 100% have been affected by everything that's happening in the world. I've tried to really focus myself on my workout routine. So I work out 5 days a week. I do CrossFit. And so I am diligent about that, try to keep myself fit and healthy and my mind kind of active there. And then another thing too is, you know, sometimes we want to be all to everyone and we can't do that. And so, yeah, I've had to say no to certain people, family members who asked me to do things that I felt that, you know, might overextend myself, just because even though I want to, I don't have all this time on my hands, but at this time I need to kind of keep an eye on my own energy level and making sure I'm sleeping well and eating well and working out, and that I'm able to be here for everyone in my organization. Mental health has been a big focus of mine probably most of my life, but also certainly at work and at Resulta. You know, it's something that we're going to struggle with for a while yet, because we're still in this COVID world. But it's first and foremost for me, 100%. We've done a lot of things at Resulta too the last few months with a focus mostly just on this. In September, our medical benefit program was up for renewal with the benefit provider. And up until that point, we had on our benefits, I think the allotment was $750 a year with regards to psychology and counseling services. And we were successful in upping that to $1,500. So that's something that's been really important, is making sure that employees have access to the, not just our EAP program, but also the dollars that's available to them to seek out psychological counseling as well. So that's been a big one for sure, most recently.
That is awesome to hear that your company has a core focus on mental health and well-being, because it's needed so much right now. But Diana, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest. And we really hope that you are able to hire all these amazing people to work for your company, because it seems like you're definitely taking care of them. And this was your very first podcast and you totally nailed it.
Thank you.
Very impressed. Very cool. Diana, thanks for being on the podcast.
Woo! Diana!
So where can people find you and Resulta online?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn, actually, and you'd be amazed the number of people that reach out to me there. So you can find me, Tiana@Resulta.com is my email. If you want to send me an email, if you're interested in any of the roles that we have posted, be happy to have a chat with you.
Awesome. And we'll definitely include all of that contact info in the show notes. So for everyone out there listening, if you enjoyed this podcast as much as Tiana and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes, because it shows that you care and we're creating great content. Also, if this is your very first Employee Cycle podcast interview you've ever listened to, and you came here because you're either already a mega huge super fan of Tiana and you just had to hear what she was going to say, or you thought that this topic was super compelling and so you just had to listen, but now you're hungry for more episodes from other HR leaders, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast platforms. And last but not least, all of you awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.